Today's reading is from Jonah, beginning in the third chapter. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going about a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about this calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. As I said, I love this story. It's big and vivid. There's drama and excitement. It has boats and sailors and a giant fish. It's got cows and bushes and a worm. Its protagonist is grumpy, resentful, or maybe just a profound realist. Jonah is one of the biblical stories that I learned first, or at least one of the first that I remember learning as a child. But it's one that continues to challenge me every time I read it, because there's always more to this story. We didn't have time to read the whole story this morning, but as far as books of the Bible go, this one is pretty short. So if you haven't recently, I'd encourage you to read the whole thing, sometime later today even. It's only 4 chapters. It goes pretty quickly. And then you can say that you've read a whole book of the Bible. So that's a win, right? I want to do a quick recap of the story, in case you aren't super familiar or if it's been a while since you've heard it. God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh. This is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. These are the people, the nation, the empire that will eventually lay waste to Jonah's country, to the northern kingdom. And God wants Jonah to help Nineveh turn from its evil ways. But instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah hops on a boat, going in the opposite direction. He heads west. And as he is on the boat, a storm develops, and the sailors panic. And they say, "Jonah, you must know why this is happening." And Jonah tells them, "Oh, it's because I'm running away from God." So naturally, the sailors throw Jonah into the sea, where he's promptly eaten by a giant fish, or maybe saved by a giant fish. The fish swims around with Jonah in his belly for 3 days, then vomits. That's the word in Hebrew, fun fact. Vomits Jonah back onto the dry land, whereupon God calls Jonah again. "Go to Nineveh. And that's where we pick up the story today. Jonah enters Nineveh, a great city, a huge city, walks one day's worth of travel into it, and preaches the shortest, the worst, and arguably most effective sermon recorded in Scripture. And the people repent. They believe Jonah. They believe God. And God changes God's mind. God decides not to destroy the city, but rather extends grace and mercy to Nineveh. And Jonah's mad. He's upset. But wouldn't you be? I mean, if you were in Jonah's place, wouldn't you just resent the hell out of this whole situation? I mean, think about it. Nineveh is the seat, the capital of the evil empire. Nineveh is the enemy. Nineveh is the place of power and dominance and brutality in the region. And in due course, the Assyrian people will destroy Jonah's people and bring them into exile. Jonah knows these people. He hates these people. And yet, Jonah's God, Jonah's protector, Jonah's light and life and salvation has sent him to deliver a saving word to them. And they respond. And Jonah is devastated. He'd rather be dead than see God forgive them. It's why Jonah didn't even want to go in the first place. It's why he ran away. Jonah knew who God was. He knew what God would do. And he can't stand that God, his God, would do that for them. And God has the audacity to say to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" We're supposed to say no. Jonah's supposed to say no. We're supposed to be able to somehow see things from God's perspective. God cares about Nineveh too. The people, the animals. But what about justice? What about fairness? What about holding people to account and righting wrongs and punishing those who deserve it? What about that, God? I so desperately want to see those who have wronged me, who have hurt me, those I disagree with and feel are dangerous for my well-being, my family's well-being, my country's well-being, this planet's well-being. I want to see them get theirs. I want people to pay for what they've done. Don't you? Jonah does. So he sits down outside the city walls and waits and watches. What will happen 40 days from now? Will justice be delivered? Or will mercy win out? What will happen to Nineveh, to this great city? What's going to happen to Jonah? We don't get to find out. The story doesn't tell us, it just ends with a question. Jonah sets up camp to watch what will become of the city. God creates a plant to provide shade for Jonah as he sits in the scorching sun. Then the next day, there's a worm that consumes the plant, and Jonah is left to bake in his misery. And God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant, about the bush? And he says, yeah, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you're concerned about this bush, for which you did not labor, in which you did not grow. It came into being in a night, and it went away in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? We're left with this question. A question that points to God's concern, God's love, God's faithfulness, which is maddeningly expansive. It includes the people we would exclude. It embraces those we would push away. It creates potential and possibility for those we would just as soon leave behind. Should I not be concerned, God says? Should I not work tirelessly to bring those people back under my care? Did I not also make them? Are they not my children as well? Yeah. Sure, but I still want limits. I want boundaries. I want to know where love ends and tough love begins. I want to know that God will take care of God's people and punish the wicked and judge those who deserve it. But the story doesn't give us that. It ends with a question. How big is God's love? Does it include them? And if it doesn't, can you be sure that it includes you? The recklessness of this story gives witness to a God who is so concerned, so committed, so willing to bet it all that God becomes human, endures life and death, so that we, and it's a we that knows no limits, might be enfolded into God's own life of possibility and promise, now and forever. How big is God's love? Well, it includes you, today and forevermore. Amen.